Almighty and eternal Father, as we survey the blueprint of events that are before us, recognize our relationship with these thy households, look upon these things which you have declared thy kingdom shall endure and shall perform. We pray that you shall quicken our consciousness with the Spirit and with its guidance. You shall empower thy people to do thy will. We pray that you shall stir people and finish the awakening of this household from their sleep, cause them to stand upon their feet. Recognizing, our Father, that out of the apathy and out of the patterns of the darkness have come a deep sweep over thy people. We pray, our Father, that in this hour of quickening consciousness, as we are watching in the awakening, we shall see the finality of thy household standing together to do thy will. We pray that you shall cause us to understand the time, and we shall catch the pattern of thy guidance. So we shall now resist the forces of darkness, knowing that we have reached a very climactic period in human history. We say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, with full realization that only as we are adjusted unto thy pattern and thy plan can we understand the things that are happening at this hour. So as we commit ourselves in thy hand, we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. Turn tonight in our thinking of the awakening of a nation. We turn to the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. We find a very sound text in these words, and knowing the time, that it is now time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation even nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. And we must cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. One of the great problems of our time is that we have had so many people that have not been aware that they are operating in their lifespan of existence inside a great timetable of God. They have not been aware that the kingdom of God is a reality in the earth, and that as a reality it has a very important destiny, that God Almighty is infinitely more concerned about that kingdom there are a great number of the citizens within it who are not so much aware that it exists. We have talked often about the strategies of God, about the purposes which God unveils inside the Holy Scripture. This afternoon we talked to you about mysteries of the kingdom. There can be no doubt that it is important for you and I to understand what time it is. It's important for us to recognize how close we are to some of the most climactic events in human history. We assure you that God has declared he does nothing except he reveal it unto his ministers and unto his prophets. That he makes it known unto his people that they are not the children of darkness, but they are children of light. The Apostle Paul told us in the book of Thessalonians that we would not know the day or the hour, but we would know the time and the seasons. We are in one of the most turbulent periods of human history. We have watched the battle for the earth existing over centuries and centuries. But we have come up to the great climactic timetable where this struggle reaches its finality. What we are talking to you tonight about is not built on a general trend. It is by the assurity that we have reached a time, a very important and significant time, that God is not only awakening his people out of their sleep, but in the past 2 years has been awakening people to the processes of darkness that are in the great nations of God's kingdom. Nothing is important for you to understand as to know tonight that the kingdom of God is made of men and of nations. They are the household of God transferred from celestial realms to bodies of flesh, and you live here in bodies of flesh, the celestial people. There's absolutely nothing wrong dwelling in a physical body. God willed that you would thus arrive, that you would live here during this period of time, which is your lifespan. He hath willed that this kingdom of God from heaven to earth would grow and multiply in the earth until it occupy the earth, that it would operate on the patterns of divine law and with great spiritual wisdom and with divine understanding, that it would battle against the powers of darkness for the minds of men, for men think and live where their consciousness exists, for out of the spiritual planes of the Spirit they receive spiritual and divine unction and guidance and knowledge. Out of the sense pattern of the body they live in, they know the things of earth and sense the patterns of things visible. That is only out of the dimensions of spirit that comes the vision and inspiration that can show you tomorrow. or can bring you to a realization that you've arrived at a very critical period of time in the foreknowledge of God concerning the empowering of his race or the achievement of his pattern as against the powers of darkness. We tell you that God, who brings all things to your remembrance that he would have you to know, has eternal covenants with you, his people. You are not only the Israel of God, the household of God, the issue of God dwelling in the earth, but from the days of Adam to your time, we have transversed some 7,400 years of approximate of history. We have reached a point in divine measure which he set in the sky over ages ago, and had even set constellations to establish it. The sign of the Son of Man in the heavens took place back in 1962, and here we are in 64, and we are in the last year. Now hear this, we are in the last year in which the grace of God will give any tolerance inside of his kingdom before the wrath of God starts to fall on Babylon. I speak this with a knowledge, and the Spirit of God moves with this judgment, that we are not only in the final measures, but in the very last year, and beyond this there shall be no extended grace, but only the catastrophes of judgment that fall on Babylon and all its forces. And those that have pitched their tents with Babylon shall suffer its chastisements, its catastrophes and destruction. And those that can awaken out of their sleep to stand and fulfill their destiny alone shall escape the catastrophes that move upon the household of the peoples of God. I point out to you that judgment begins in the house of God. The reason it is necessary for judgment to begin in the house of God, as Peter says, is because we must cleanse the nations of God's kingdom. We must clear the decks for action before the great struggle commences. And by this instance, then, if judgment begins in the house of God, according to the declaration of Peter, then what shall the end be of these people who repudiate and refuse and recognize no part of the gospel? Now, we are not talking about the ultimate eternal destinies of men's souls. We are not even talking about the eternal patterns of the Spirit. We have no question in our mind about the ultimate achievements of the Most High God. We have no question about his ability to do as he declared he would do when in the days his Spirit was poured out upon his disciples. He said he would reconcile in the fullness of time all things unto himself. But from this hour till the fullness of time can be cycles and eras and can be generations and millenniums. I point out to you that we are not concerned at this moment about the pattern of events that reaches out in the fullness of time, as we are in our responsibility to this hour and to this age. For I can assure you that the pattern of life in a struggle against the powers of darkness has not been designed by the enemy to be comfortable, nor has his strategies as it relates to the subordination of the nations of God's kingdom been one in which he is designed to grant mercy. The actual legions of Lucifer march the earth. The actual powers of darkness move over the hordes of Africa and of Asia, stir them up to a great struggle, and the powers of demons, as you have been told inside of Revelation, are gathering men together to the great day of the battle of God Almighty. Now I point out that God in his grace and his mercy hath extended unto earth its opportunity to realign itself with the King of the universe. But as to the surety of the hour in which we see approaching the conquest and success of God's kingdom, make no doubt about it, the powers of darkness and the forces of evil shall not be able to withstand the light of that day which is just ahead. So when we talk to you about a sleepy people, remember that you have grown from the days of one man's family down through the course of history until today you are the great nations of the Western world. The Israel of God, Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Nordic, Basque, Lombard, Germanic, you are God's house and God's people in the earth. And you have a standard to uphold, and you have a kingdom of which you are a part to bring in. This kingdom is based upon the direction of the Most High for the passing of the inheritance onto his children, for the increase of his kingdom, for the development of his progeny. And I tell you that out of all the patterns of his foreknowledge, having foreseen the era which you would be involved in, witnessing the seduction of your race and its fall from light and glory, God himself rejoined you and walked even with your forebears in the garden of their violence, and assured them that he would not only once more fulfill his covenant, but that they would crush the dragon's head, the serpent's head, and the symbol of evil, and enmity would exist between thy seed and the seed of the enemies of God's kingdom. The processes of divine revelation and the mysteries which God made known unto his patriarchs are so vast and so far that we could not begin to cover them in any message. A series of messages would only touch upon some of them. If all the great patterns of divine revelation, knowledge and wisdom and instruction were to be passed on to the children of God, it would take a lifetime to absorb it all. But I point out that we have reached at a great period in history. Knowledge has been increased. The course of 7,400 years of your forebears have passed down unto you a culture, an inheritance, and a destiny. More than this, throughout that period of time, with all the onslaughts of the enemy, with every catastrophe that is devised for your destruction, have God provided a great way of escape. He had in each one of these instances raised up leaders, provided heavenly hosts, used the forces of nature, showered down meteors, shook the earth with earthquakes, and even in your time hath thus poured out judgments upon your enemies. In the same instance, he consummated his identity with you and became identified as one out of your household, your own race. He fulfilled the covenants of Isaiah and the declarations of his prophecy that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his kingdom upon the throne of David to establish it in government, there shall be no end. Of the increase of this kingdom, there shall be no end. Now tonight we proclaim to you actually that this literal covenant is in fulfillment. The embodiment of God as he walked the earth, the fullness of God dwelling bodily, the mighty eternal Yahweh, Yahshua, Jesus, who not only lifted up his standards and he assured his children that he had come to deliver them, called them his sheep, and at the same time said that they had belonged to him in the heavens as they do in the earth. I point out to you that in the course of human destiny we have come through a long period of history. We've come through historic development. We have withstood onslaught after onslaught, as conspiracy after conspiracy from the legions of the darkness, from the races dominated by Lucifer and the mutations which he's created, have not been able to wipe out or destroy God's kingdom. We have passed the hours of resurrection and the great spiritual force that descended upon the church to bring by the Holy Spirit cognition to man. We have watched the spread of this message until it went out and found the sheep of the house of Israel. And this message went out to all the nations of Western Europe and whithersoever white men go upon the face of the earth. And today they are identified by his name and they are known as Christians. We have watched the carrying of knowledge and wisdom and understanding by this growing kingdom to the ends of the earth. And in this kingdom and through this wisdom and by this spiritual dynamic have all the peoples and the nations of the earth been blessed. We have watched the gathering storm as the powers of darkness have sought again to capture and subordinate the kingdom. As the great contest for the earth comes closer and closer, as we see the design and the conspiracy to move out and to destroy. But the nations of God's kingdoms were blessed. Their civilizations and cultures grew, and their dynamic became strong until the world was to acknowledge that today the world order of the Antichrist has to admit out of its United Nations citadels that the great nations of the Western world are the have-nations of the earth. How could they gather your knowledge? How could they steal into the coffers of your wisdom? They infiltrated your society. They sent their fifth column of refugees into your midst. If you want to know what's wrong with the United States and the great nations of God's kingdom, it's because he gave unto us a policy of law. He gave unto us the foundational standards of government. He gave unto us the criteria by which we would retain our greatness and we would accomplish our destiny. He warned us that violations of these laws would bring a certain natural course of results. He warned us that under these violations of law that we would go into areas of bondage and chastisement. We would see catastrophe envelop our society. But he told us that he had sufficient power that even in such hours of catastrophe, his outpouring of spirit would stimulate his people. He would challenge again and raise up leaders and provide life and vitality. And with this life and vitality and vision, they again would discover what was wrong. They would return to the way of their fathers. They would lift up the standards of God. They would place the pillar of the law as the heart of their society. And then they would cleanse their land, and in that cleansing they would find new strength. I point out to you that we have arrived at a very critical period in human history. To capture men, you must capture their cognition of existence. You must seize the areas in which they think. You must dominate their soul. The spirit remains impossible for the enemy to touch, incorruptible seed that abides forever. The physical body may be subject to captivity or torture. It may even be subject to death. But to capture the thinking of a man and hold him captive so that his physical body follows the direction of error is one of the grand designs of Lucifer for the conquest of the earth. He had this capacity of design when even he thought that he, by a masterful presentation of coexistence strategy, would get Jesus to acknowledge him in earth, and he would share with him the administration of the earth and thus defeat the processes of God to deliver society. We discussed this afternoon with you the fact that Lucifer actually said, if you would acknowledge me and worship me here on the earth, and the kingdoms of this world will I give thee. And thou canst be the king, and I will be the God in this world. And thus he would have creator, author of the universe, bowing down before him. There have been those of lesser order that even reached the presidency that have taken this agreement. But, my friends, the hour is about to come when we're going to repudiate the people that take this agreement and follow the leadership of Christ the Victor. I point out to you that this is a challenging hour in which we are alive. But I also point out that the long sufferings of God hath long suffered whole areas of defection from the processes of law. You are about to reach the cycle, and its cycle will commence very, very shortly, under the measure of the judgments of Jupiter, under the condemnation, under the wrath that falls upon the earth. And therefore, we will say that that which is allied with the darkness or seeks to rule its hour with the beast shall fall under its catastrophes and under its judgments, and it shall be cut off, and that suddenly without remedy. I point out to you that we have reached very, very close to this pattern of divine measure. And when I tell you that you are walking in the very last year in which it will be possible for those who are making their alignment with the darkness to come out of her and avoid the catastrophe, we have about reached the climax of this. And those that walk their hour with the beast past a certain pattern of alignment must know its catastrophes and must walk in outer darkness throughout the periods of the chastisement in this hour which is to come. I tell you, never has there been a period in history that is as vital as the one we face at this moment, nor has there ever been an hour in which darkness is battling more and more completely to try to hold people enslaved and to try to keep them from knowing the truth. How they have entwined themselves around leaders in the nations of God's kingdom. How they fifth columned their way in. Had we been cognizant of the laws of God, had we not pitched our tent with Babylon, never would we be in the area of problem that we have tonight. It is true we have candidates crossing our nation contending for the presidency. And upon one side we have upheld before us the crime, the vice, the immorality, the depravity, the degeneration that has taken place inside of our society. There is no doubt that these things are so. Murder runs rampant. Life is not secure even in the White House. Plotters extend throughout the world. There are those that would cover up the darkness, but it's too late. For this is the hour in which every secret thing shall be made known. And so under this instance we tell you that there is no doubt about this. But in this great nation of God's kingdom, one of the great nations where God's bounty and where God's blessing has rested upon it, where no people have had so much or had such great opportunity as here, and we watched ourselves plagued with the darkness while the forces of evil ride roughshod, while the image they try to present to even those of our youth and of our people of a life in America is one of corruption and one of twisted mentalism. If you want to see how they think, take a look at the television screen and you'll find how the beast thinks in America, how he wants you to think life and normalcy is, how he even produces monsters because there's nothing quite alive that measures up to the pattern of his depravity. I point out to you that these things seem wild, but they are reality in your time, and all too well we know the truth. And because we know the truth, we are faced with this pattern. We have listened also to the contest of those who would be president of the United States, telling us that all is wonderful and well, that mankind is evolving into a great structural new order, where there'll be no more poverty and no more problems. There'll be no loss of anything that man desires, and there'll be a distribution of all of the commodities and the products which the natural creature heart of man would desire. We are told that a mutual brotherhood shall unite the peoples of Asia and Africa and of the Western world. We are told that all religions shall find a great standard of total equality and total interchangeability. We are told that there shall be no longer permitted any criticism of any man on the basis of his race or his faith, and that all individuals are equal. We listen to this echo even coming out of the voice of Antichrist, which has sought to capture even great denominations inside the church. We listen to the Episcopal See that says this week we will marry everybody of any race or any creed. We will join them. We listen to others that call for the end of all of the segregation laws and the discriminatory laws of God. And we know that we have reached a climactic period in human history. I'm going to tell you that Babylon also has invaded religion, it has invaded politics, it has invaded the economy, and we in this nation are suffering from this depraved catastrophe of having the enemy and his children dwell within the midst of our society. Someone said, where have we violated the laws of God? We violated the laws of God when we let any non-Christian pagan from any foreign part of the world come into these United States. We violated the laws of God when we let them come in from Africa, when we let them come in from Asia. We violated the laws of God when we let any Jews even become citizens of these United States. Someone said, you can't talk like this, it's not constitutional. I'm going to tell you something, it's constitutional to talk any way you want to talk. It's even constitutional for our enemies to disagree with us, but it isn't constitutional for them to suppress us. Now let me tell you this concerning this vital hour in which you and I live. These forces of darkness and these powers of evil may think that they are going to determine the course of the destiny of the nations of God's kingdom, or even the outline for America, or that they're going to amend our Constitution or change our way of life, whether from the judges on the high courts or whether from the areas of administration. And I'm going to tell you something. God Almighty is going to make the decisions, and His forces are going to determine the destiny of America and every white Christian nation before this hour is through. I tell you tonight that the laws that will govern God's kingdom are going to be the laws of God. And if we have not yet arrived in the areas of our constitutional provisions to embrace the laws of God, then the laws of God are going to embrace our Constitution, and it's going to take its form from the laws of God. Someone said it won't be constitutional. Well, we'll have a better constitution under God, and we'll see thy kingdom come on earth when we bring together the people and the law and the king. Every once in a while, someone says we can't be a bigot in our time. No, we don't have to be a bigot. We just stand for truth. We're not going to change from truth. We're not going to alter truth for error. This is it, and from here we will not move. Someone said that's being narrow. It's not as narrow as you think, but it's pretty narrow as you want to compare it with all the processes of darkness, all the false religions, and all the false philosophies. This road to achievement and to administration and to peace and to righteousness on the earth may seem like a narrow road, but it's a sure one, a victorious one. I point out to you that as the judgments of God start to fall, and surely they are about to fall, they're going to fall, my friends, where some of the powers of darkness have no concept of how. They think they can move roughshod against the sons of God, or that they will be able, if victorious in an election, to crush the voices of truth, or start to move for the destruction of God's household, and it'll be like fire coming out of heaven. It'll be like the tremendous juggernaut of judgment that has moved out in the past, for you've approached the great hour of truth, the great testing time of God, and you're going to discover the very forces of heaven, spiritual forces, dynamic power, is going to move to your side. The challenge, my friends, that'll move out among your race and among your manhood and among those that make your society is going to be one of the startling transitions of all time. A virtual army shall rise upon its feet, and the reinforcements of heaven shall come to join it. And I tell you, before we have gone through very many months, the greatest catastrophe that ever felt those that thought they could sell out for a little gold or a little power, those that could mutate the patterns of divine law for what they thought was temporary security, are going to discover that it is too late for this. They do not understand the time. No wonder the scripture said it's high time that we awake out of our sleep, because our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Let me point out to you that these words in Romans in the 13th chapter were only a small part of this declaration. Therefore, listen unto this declaration. Listen, therefore, followers of God and children, that we are told in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians. He said, therefore, know this, that in this declaration, let no man deceive you. Know therefore that your inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ is not going to be shared by idolaters. It's not going to be shared by the posterity of Lucifer, and it's not going to be shared, my friends, by the enemies of God's kingdom. So under this instance we read, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Therefore be ye not partakers with them. You know, there's more choice than some people realize, and there's definitely something that people must do. They must determine that for no area of political well-being or promised security or political acunum will they become partakers with the children of disobedience and the forces of darkness in this peculiar day. There are some that thought they can get away with this thing, but we are told that ye are now not of the darkness, ye are of God. Walk therefore as the children of light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. And therefore know that all things are reproved and are made manifest by the light. And the great light of revelation is moving down upon people. And so in this fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, when all things that are reproved are now being made manifest by the light. Looks like there's a lot of light falling, even on the White House, you know, they've lost some of their aim. You know, after some of these things like the Jenkins experience and some of the others, I don't think we have to think too hard when the president said, this is one of the finest men I know. Say, well, we'll take his evaluation, birds of a feather must flop together. Therefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ is going to give thee life. But let's make it clear that there is being made manifest today among the peoples of God the areas of catastrophe. Why, do you know the last 2 years there has been more things come to light and showed people that were asleep in America than they've ever known before? There has been exposure upon the fifth column of anti-Christian forces. There have been volumes and there have been committees at work. There have been public speeches and nationalist assemblies from one end of the nation to the other. There has been made clear unto people that will stop and listen, the great fifth column of satanic conspiracy, the hordes of socialism, the communistic invasion of the children of Antichrist. There has been, by their identity and by their inability to escape their works of darkness and identity between the powers of evil and their master conspiracy. There is out of the synagogues of America an acknowledgement that they stirred up the Negro race revolutions of violence and corruption, of rape and mayhem and of theft. They admit and they agree that they can find no difference between communism, socialism, and Zionism. They make a statement that one calls it communism, I call it Judaism, said Rabbi Weiss, and I call it the Antichrist, and say it's time for the kingdom to awake and clear the deck. The contents of the scripture are quite clear concerning the vitality of the kingdom and of the forces of darkness now, that shall be made known. They are not only the lovers of darkness, but they have sought to destroy the pattern of God's kingdom. Therefore, we note that over in the book of Jeremiah, God again talks about his people. And over in Isaiah and Jeremiah, he's told them again and again, awake, awake, thou my people, awake and flee from the daughters of Babylon. Now God makes a statement concerning his household and his race. He says, set up the standard, call for the watchmen, prepare for the ambushes, for the Lord hath devised and has spoken against Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon the waters that have become abundant in thy treasures, thy end is come, and thy measure of covenants is full. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I shall fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. And he hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom. And now he utters his voice before the great multitudes of his people and calls on the kingdom to wake up and prepare to destroy Babylon utterly. Hear this now, to utterly destroy it. How far does God mean to carry this out? He says, therefore listen, O Israel, there is none like unto you, for he is the former of all things. You are the former of all things. You are the people that were the Father before the world was framed. You are his household, and as such we read these words in the 19th verse, the 51st chapter of Jeremiah, that you are the rod of God's inheritance. You are the people of his kingdom, and this is the earth which he hath bestowed upon you. As we read to you from the words of the psalmist, God declares, I'm going to give you the earth, and I'm going to give you all of its possessions. I'm going to give you all of its territories. This is my covenant with you, that you shall inherit the earth. Now, listen to what it says. Thou, therefore, my Israel, my offspring, and we're not talking about Jews. There isn't a Jew that qualifies for this side of the axe. For if you note here, God says to Israel, you are my battle axe, and you are my weapons of war. You've got the handle, my friends, not the head buried in you. A lot of people don't realize that darkness has swept the earth. God said, I will break in pieces these nations with Babylon. I will destroy their kingdoms. More than this, the declaration that is cried out here in the 35th verse of this 51st chapter, God said, and I will bring this great catastrophe. Why? For the violence done to me and to my flesh. let it be upon Babylon. God says to Israel, thou art my seed, thou art my offspring, thou art my household. God said, for what Babylon has done to my people and what it is seeking to do to my people, will I bring this judgment, because this is my flesh. Do you know there isn't anything that you can claim tonight that's quite as valuable as being able to say that you're a kinsman of God, that you're flesh of his flesh, and God acknowledges it. He says, you're my flesh too. Someone the other day said, we got to get out of the flesh. Well, my friends, you can stay in this Israel flesh and be blessed to God. Instead of getting out of it, you just better put on your coat. Someone says, what coat? The coat of the righteousness of God. The coat that you put on will give immortality to that flesh, and that's a part of the climax of this hour. I'm going to tell you that we're not about to leave the body. We're about to see the body put on light and power that no force of darkness can cope with. I tell you that in this hour, under the pattern of God, that he is awakening his people out of their sleep. He tells them to stand up and act as they should act. He said, I put you in the earth to build a kingdom. I put you in the earth to be my armies. I put you in the earth to be my battle axe and my weapons of war. Along comes somebody trying to carry along an olive branch and blend it together with the symbols of Babylon. You can't blend the olive branch with Babylon. The peace is the peace of God. The peace is the peace of righteousness, the nations of the goodwill of God. But let me assure you that the powers of darkness have short quarter in the earth. There's only one solution today for the powers of darkness, and that's submission to the acceptance of the authority of Christ, or destruction, my friends, in the struggle which is just ahead. Now, when I point out that it's high time we awake, there is no doubt about this. There is going to be no solution to the problems of this world by any of the suggestions that have been offered by President Johnson. Now, hear this. Now, I'm going to say something that might startle you, too. There's only about a 50% solution by the things that have been pointed out, even by Senator Goldwater. Of course, 50% is better than nothing, but let me point this out to you. The only reason why they can only be 50% right, it's all right to denounce evil, it's all right to denounce immorality, it's all right to denounce depravity, it's all right to talk about the fact we've got to return to the foundations of our fathers, but there's only one way you can do it, and that's when all of Satan's children out of America. Now, of course, the enemy does read between the lines. He knows the people that have been backing, generally, the great seizure, even of the Republican Party, the great conservative force, is a dynamically aroused and somewhat spiritually energized people that are on the way out and up. They're on the way to move out to capture. They're on the way to move forward. There is no power on earth that's going to stop the rolling juggernaut of awakening people taking over America. Someone said, you think... Someone said to me, do you think they're going to take it over the Republican Party? No, I think they're going to bypass the Republican Party and take it over in the name of God and of race and of destiny. I think there are a lot of people that we could do well to have get out of the Republican Party or any other spot where they're in. I think it's time that the Democrats woke up and cleaned their party up from the inside to the out. I think it's time we raised up an issue and made it clear. It isn't a matter anymore of Republicans or Democrats. It should be a Christian party under God and an anti-Christ party under communism. I think it'd be much easier to put men like Javits and Seller and so forth in the anti-Christ party and put the white race in the Christian party and make it a clear-cut issue. Someone said, but of course, we must be speaking with grace and with evangelism. We must be pleading with people that they need a change of heart. All right, now let me tell you something. We have had open and extended since the days of Christ's resurrection a great cycle of divine grace. The message has been upheld by the great spiritual center of God's kingdom, his church. It is pointed out to the nations and the peoples of the world, behold, that Christ is God, beside whom there is none else. It has made its declaration of a consummation of an atonement to set men free. It has even declared the tidings that he bought the whole world to redeem his own people, and thus the world could lay claim to an adjustment of their conscience from the service of the right God. They could escape dynamic patterns of judgment by identifying themselves with the Most High. But there has been vindicated the great patterns of divine law. The only people that have responded to the magnitude of divine greatness, the only ones that have answered his call, are those that were seed of his life and spirit of his spirit. It is proven again that the powers of darkness have mutated and has destroyed whole areas of cognition in the early dwellers of earth. It has proved that the sons of Satan have no spiritual capacity to respond to the direct declarations of God. Jesus stood and he addressed the masses, and as he spake to the masses before him, here came the very synagogue of Satan. Here came Satan's own children gathered around, and they started to argue with the very body of God standing there and proclaiming deliverance unto the people. And as they argued and they cried out, and they then denounced Jesus, Jesus said, you can't understand the truth, you can't even hear what I say. You don't have any capacities to form a righteous or proper image. And then he said, you're like your father, the devil. The lusts of your father ye will do. You know, we've got to stop trying to build the United States up with children of the devil and entrenching them with the posterity of God in high positions of power. It has never been any more important than it is at the present time that we have a standard which is very vital for our civilization. A standard that every Christian can repair to and become a party of. And that is, when we elect men to office or when we support them, they must be those that recognize that Jesus is the Christ. And that, I say, that it's time for us to vote Christian, think Christian, act Christian, buy Christian. It's time for the kingdom to start the economic strangling of Babylon. Someone said, of course, we don't want any areas of violence, you know. There's been too much violence in the earth. Yes, they have. The children of the kingdom have been martyred. The children of the kingdom have cried out. And there has been rising unto God like the vapors of the censers, the prayers of the saints, and the great call of the saints unto the Most High. O Lord, how long? How long shalt thou suffer this thing? And how long before thy judgment shall fall? And God gave the measure in the sky, and the cycles closed. And you move over the cusp of the year, and the judgments start to fall. I'm going to tell you that in the sequence of divine purpose, there has never been anything like this in the earth, and there never will be anything like it again. The design of the enemy has been creating great tribulation, has been liquidating Christians behind the iron curtain. The powers of darkness now lust for even speedier activity. They're unhappy even with the slowness with which their cunning Khrushchev and his Antichrist plans were being carried out. They want to step it up. They want to bring all communism into a solid phalanx. They want to attack on the east and the west. They want to come down from the sky. They want to send missiles into the air. They want to take the earth and threaten us with fear. But there's something coming over the kingdom. And that, my friends, is going to be an answer to the challenge. That will be prepared to move with judgment. Now, when God talks upon the powers of darkness and the forces of evil, he said, I have held out to them every opportunity to change their ways, but it was not within their nature. We have upheld the standards of righteousness, and they would not repair to it. They fifth-columned our land. They've come in. The violations of divine law have permitted unassimilatable peoples to come into our nation, violating the laws of immigration and the laws of God. It's time that we put those laws back and put out the forces that have come into this country that do not belong here. You know, even now, within the ramifications of existing law, if we deported every alien that had not qualified for citizenship, if we deported every agent of a foreign power that seeks to unseat this great nation of ours, if we deported everybody that fights against our faith and our God, that has no part or lot in this matter, my friends, you'd be surprised how many people would get out of the United States. We'd end unemployment all at once and have plenty of room. Every once in a while, somebody tells us this is a government of all the people. This is a government of all the citizens of these United States, and don't you forget that. There is no doubt that we have had men in our nation who, after they have watched the dilemma of the misapplications of authority and power and see the necessity of change in human conduct, that have advocated a lot of things that were not adopted. Abraham Lincoln, for instance, advocated that we deport every Negro to Africa or to some other country. That was a good idea. Anybody that doesn't like that idea before it can attack us has got to attack Abraham Lincoln, you know, and that's a good place to start. The other day I listened to an attack that had been levied against the narrow-mindedness of George Washington. And I thought of the size of the dimwit, a modern sociologist, that was attacking George Washington. I said, how could this be? What was the matter with George Washington? Well, George Washington did not adhere to the equality of all men. He had not considered at the time that they drafted the Constitution that black men should be co-equal with white. Well, that's not anything new. God didn't think anything about that either. God didn't think they were co-equal with white in the days when he put your race here and said you were above and they were beneath. It's quite obvious we have people today that would like to educate God. Did you know that? They say, well, God was superstitious in those days. But God, to be our God, has got to evolve in something more like the standards that we are embracing today. But they're not the standards of survival. They are the standards of destruction. We point out that we have problems. Surely you have problems, but almost all of them stem from the arrogancy with which those that are the enemies of Christ to put out the doctrines of their revolution. The policies of socialism and communism, the manipulations of world economy, the usury of the sons of Babylon, all of this has been denounced by the Word of God. Now the Scripture tells us that we have reached a climactic hour in which the Holy Spirit of God shall start moving upon your race. You are told that it's going to awaken my people out of their sleep. They're going to stand up upon their feet. My witnesses, my nations, and my church are going to take its vital stand before the world. They thought they were dead. They thought it was all over. They thought they had them brainwashed. They know what they did to our schools. They know what they've done to our areas of public opinion. They know what they've done to our government until they have placed corruption in it, until people just generally accept that there's corruption in government. You don't have to accept that corruption in government as a way of life. It's time for you to clean it out and put men in whose standards will lead out of righteousness. Have we reached the place that inside the great nations of God's kingdom, where the law becomes its standard, the righteousness of divine purpose is to reach out with justice unto all the citizens of that kingdom, that men may pray so long with justice that they can be blind, that they can carry out activities of crime and violence, that they can rise to power with political murders, that they can achieve for themselves an immunity, and then laugh at the people that wish to oppose it? I listened to a Democratic commentator on the air the other night that said, all this mudslinging is of no value. People don't care anymore about the great scandals and the great issues. You can't raise an issue of morality or a scandal that anybody's going to listen to anymore. Then away with this trash and let's lift up a standard where people will choose that which is right. Let's put that kind of people in power. Someone said, how can these things be done? When I tell you tonight that the great armies of God stand by, we're not just using a superstition of yesterday. When I have the assurances out of the book of Daniel that Michael, that prince, shall stand up for the people of God as he stood up for your defense when he threw Lucifer out of the skies. Oh, you can say that thousands and thousands of years ago. That was a great battle in space, and all we have is the record of it. It could all be brought back to your remembrance because you were the household that the armies of Michael went out to defend. Michael, earthbound now, Lucifer, earthbound now, battling in the ark, has come unto the culmination of his conspiracy. Let us look back over 7,400 years of your history. During that period of time, you will watch violence, death, and murder as the lot of the descent of Luciferian force. You watch the very impact in your race as Cain slew Abel because he knew that he had nothing in sequence with even the righteous nature of Abel. We have had a struggle against your race that sought as a devouring force to absorb or to cannibalize themselves in the upper Tarim Basin until God wiped out those monsters of evil with the waters of a flood. We have watched the descent of the hordes out of the steppes that swept down to the plains of Shinar, that reached out across into Palestine or down into the lands of Egypt and across North Africa. And everywhere your race moved, you were under assault. You have watched the patterns of darkness that have moved in. You watched slavery and you watched the suppression of the powers of darkness seeking to crush out the light. Had you surveyed the earth as you did with the Father before the world was framed, you would have found whole nations have been subordinated to satanic evil. You would have found the processes of violence that rocked the world with nuclear explosions and tremendous wars. Continents sank, civilizations were wiped out, and catastrophes swept the world. Pain and anguish and the suppression of peoples and the grinding down of their spirits have existed under the powers of darkness. Endless ages have rolled, 600,000 years of the Tungus man, the catastrophes that developed the ancient continents of Atlantis and Lemuria, the pagan catastrophes that rocked the earth, and God sent you a divine race into the earth to carry out its responsibilities, and you also fell to the suggestions of the darkness. The grace of God promised to deliver you out of these areas of your bondage. He started with the revelations of truth and the stimulation of the patriarchs. He hath followed and nurtured and protected your way. He hath brought you up unto this hour. What for? That you make an acquiescence with the enemy? That you work out a program of coexistence? Do you think the 7,400 years of battling struggle that you've gone through to arrive today as the great creative have-nations of the world in God's kingdom, do you suppose He raised you up to this point to now have you absorbed by 5/6 of the world that He sent you here to rule over with righteousness? Do you think that God intends for you now to submit to the rule of the earth by darkness? That He wants the powers of darkness to touch the earth? Do you think He wants you to mongrelize your race, mutate your mind capacities, and destroy any posterity, any spiritual posterity? Do you think He wants you to integrate with the Negroes or integrate with the Chinamen? Do you think He wants to bring this together by this route when He sent you here to rise and rule? No, and God says, those that will violate My law and seek to destroy My people, they will I destroy. Now we carry us under constant observation, and when these tapes go out, so many of these tapes go out across the country by the thousand that we can't control everywhere they go and where they are copied. Federal officers come in and copy one here, snatch one out of the post office and copy it there. So there isn't anything I say that's a secret. They don't even have to come in here and take it down. They keep it, take it down all the time. They fume and foam and roar and say this thing can't be said, or we've got to watch. They're going to make a slip one of these days. My friends, we're not going to make any slip saying, thus saith the Lord. They're going to make a slip one of these days, and that slip isn't very far removed. They have made the greatest slip of all time when instead of aligning themselves with the kingdom, they have aligned themselves with the darkness to try to force the kingdom to conform. I want to tell you something. You can't pour God's kingdom to a Babylonian mold. You can't force the thinking of God's people to a pattern of darkness. My, how the enemy prides itself upon its intellectual attainment, its psychological development. It tells us that all that do not agree with them are mentally deficient. It says that anyone that doesn't accept their standards or will not be poured to the form that their world philosophies have now developed is to be no longer permitted any area of authority. That our children must be educated according to their standards, whether we like it or not. They say, you give us these children, the next generation is ours. But we're not going to give them these children, and they're not going to live till the next generation. Say, what makes you think that this is going to be? Because we know that the hour of judgment's come. We know the cycle's closing. We know it's going to move with such speed and with such catastrophe that we warn you tonight, every last man and woman of the house of God must wake up, come to their senses, align themselves with righteousness, stand solidly together, one with the other for the support of the kingdom. But in these hours of judgment that follow, I can assure you that those that have sought to betray the kingdom will be swept again from the areas of authority. They shall take their judgment with the beast in this hour. Someone said they lost, they gone? No, but they're going to wander around in outer darkness throughout the days which are just ahead. Someone says, where's outer darkness? Anytime you get outside the great nations of God's kingdom where the light shines, you're in outer darkness. You go down to Africa for a little while. You travel over in Asia for a little while. You know what outer darkness is. You go down here and sit in the synagogue and you'll find it right in the midst of the children of light. Now I point out to you that in these hours of measure, God said, now I stimulate My people, I awaken them, I call for a sword among My people. Now the hordes of darkness gather in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, they prepare. Now China, stronger, muscling out with its demonstration of the atom bomb. And those that try to tell us that we've got to submit to the world order, take them into the world order, and then abide by the decisions. We're told that we don't have much time left. We can't trust anything that calls for opposition. We've got to get peacemakers now that'll make peace quickly with a superior force by numbers. Let me tell you something. Rather than make peace with evil, with superior force by numbers, if I didn't know anything about what was on my side, I'd rather battle to the death than surrender to the evil. I'm going to tell you at this very moment that what God has in store and what He has declared Instead of being a battle for the death, it's going to be suddenly an enlightened, glorified form which takes on the great vision of its race, whose manhood rise up to its destiny, whose people are stirred with a great spiritual fervor unto across this nation and across this entire land, and spreading to all the nations of the kingdom comes a great new rise, a cry for God, for race, and for the kingdom. You think that it has been wiped out? Oh, how the enemy tries to make the canard of God and the cry of his purpose as though it was something to be debased. How we are listening to the shout of darkness say, oh, they're racist, racist, racist. Well, thank God for the race that can say, God is our Father and we are his children. Thank God that we can say that we have been blessed in a destiny that was thus involved, in which he has said, I call you to come out and be ye separate. I tell you, don't you marry with this people and don't you marry with that people. Keep this race pure, this intellect clear, this area of inspiration with its capacity to fulfill. I point out to you, therefore, that someone said, well, if it wasn't just for the accident of birth, we might be a Hottentot or we might be a Chinaman. Let me tell you something. There is no accident of birth to the children of the Spirit that came down out of the heavens. If I hadn't been born here, I'd still be out there waiting to come. No accident of birth. I don't have to say, well, how thankful I am that I was born a white man. I couldn't help but be born a white man. I couldn't help but come out of the dimension of spirit from whence the Father had begotten me. This isn't something I had anything to do with. This was his determination. It is his will and his purpose. Someone said, what would happen if Christ were to come into the world today in this political menace? Why, he'd say, vote yes on 14. So I said, you can't put those words in the mouth of God. Listen, my friends, he said, you come out from among them, be separate and segregated. He said that you're not to permit Babylon to control your home and to control your property. And he that can't defend and control his own household is worse than an infidel. You say, if Christ were in the world today, why, he wouldn't take sides with this. He'd just put his arms out and say, all people come. If Christ was in the world today, he'd be over on the extreme right saying, come this way, right-wingers. You say, how do you know? Because it tells me right here in this book, the very moment that Christ re-enters the world, the first thing he sets his holy angels and his sons and daughters doing, and all the stormtroopers of his kingdom, they're going to rush right out, and they're going to start separating people just like this. You say, how do you know they're going to separate me? Because they said, I'm going to separate my people like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You say, suppose the goats won't go. They'll go all right. First place, we're going to take their swords away from them and take away all of their weapons, and we're going to pile them up in a big heap and melt them to scrap. They'll go. Someone said, you don't think that Christ would be a separationist like this, segregating the world? He said, I'll separate the sheep from the goats, and then I'm going to say to the sheep, rule these goats. I promised this to you. This is yours from the beginning of time. Someone said, why hasn't America risen to this destiny? Why haven't all the nations of God's kingdom consolidated? They didn't just wait for men of vision to say, come on now, let's stand up and go. God said, I'll raise up principal leaders, I'll raise up ministers, I'll raise up generals, and I'll suddenly challenge my people, and like a nation born today, they're going to wake out of their sleep and start to move. Someone said, oh, we don't want our sons marching forth to battle. We've had all the bloodshed and all the death and all the catastrophe we want. Let me tell you what the enemy has in store for you with 5/6 of the world marching over your land, gobbling up your possessions, raping your women, enslaving your children, liquidating your men. What they have in store for you, my friends, would make a war of victory look like a Sunday school picnic. Now, let me tell you something. There is no evil that has not been designed for the destruction of your race. Now, we're not today a hobgoblin of spreading fear, because we're not a bit afraid. We know we're going to win this thing. We know that the hosts of heaven are on our side. We know that the nuclear strength and the divine protection and the things that God will utilize are going to cleanse the earth from the opposition of the kingdom of God. They are going to bow the knee or they're going up in smoke. Someone said, oh my, eternally lost. No, my friends, they're lost now. Going up in smoke doesn't lose them. It just places them in another dimension where they'll be taken care of according to their nature. Someone said, Dr. Swift, I don't like a message of judgment. No, I don't suppose that people like judgment if they're ashamed of themselves. People that are a little bit worried about where they stand sometimes don't like judgment. So many preachers and evangelists have been shaking people over perdition and holding them there because of the defections of the individual processes of nature. We point out that there's a divine standard and men should measure up to it. But we also tell you that God doesn't hold men hair hung over a great flaming perdition ready to torture them like a vengeful God because in some area they have not fulfilled the standards of His law. For he that hath broken the law hath broken it all, and we keep it only by the righteousness of Christ. But we believe in its ascent, and we know that no civilization and culture cannot be built without the standards of law. And so we point out to you this, that the great processes of catastrophe that sweep the world are not the individual defections of individuals, not maybe the honest results to the patterns of the senses, but it comes from a master conspiracy of darkness and from people who sell out their souls for power to rule their hour with the Antichrist. Let me tell you, the judgments of God will move with great speed, far faster upon those that have confiscated the homes of widows and moved out to take away property from the working man and to seize his home or throw him into depression after depression so he can live upon the usury that he's gained and the foreclosure of his properties. Far greater catastrophe falls upon them for their hour with Babylon and with the beast than falls upon Mary Magdalene, who, recognizing her error, asks for the mercy of God. We point out that there lies no justification for errors in human conduct, but there is in the knowledge of God and understanding of the forces that are in play. And I tell you that righteousness comes to its full, and righteousness, like the plummet to the line, has ordained that the kingdom's going to straighten up its walls and it's going to measure to a divine standard. I tell you that we have reached not only a great crisis here. Some say, how is the election going to go? I'm not going to tell you how the election is going to go. I don't even know if you can hold an honest election anymore in these United States. The last one was crooked. I don't know, my friends, whether or not the old machinery will work any longer, but we'll try it. But I'm going to tell you what will work. The kingdom with power and with victorious force, with righteousness as its vision, and with the wrath of God in its countenance, it'll work. Now, of course, we understand the enemy. God walked the earth. Do you suppose there was ever greater wisdom in human form than was embodied in the man Christ Jesus? Do you think there was any more righteousness ever embodied in the flesh than those days when God walked the earth? Do you suppose in all the standards of divine revelation that anything could have been higher than the fullness of God? Power in his fingertips and power in his voice. The wind, the waves obeyed him. The storms had to respond. The earth was his. The power of life and death was in his hands, and master of life, he could call Lazarus out of the grave or restore the dead son to his weeping mother as he stopped the funeral procession. He could open the eyes of the blind. He could unstop deaf ears. Why? Because the great synthesis of divine energy that leaped from his fingertips came out of the cognition of his mind. This was very God. Against him there was no evil, and against him there could be found no fault. Lamb of God without spot or blemish from before the foundation of the world. And yet the Jews could find fault with him. Now note this. The Jews could decry him. What did they say? About a perfect man upon whom there had been no transgression because it was God walking in the flesh. They condemned him. They challenged him with lewd conduct. They tried to say he was assorting with bad people. They said his life was improper and immoral. They said he associated with the trash. Anybody that didn't accede to their law of authority and power, which was not vested in the laws of God, that served times and seasons they knew not what of, and they could think of nothing but evil to call out unto Christ. You know, they eventually charged him with sedition. They said he stirred up the people, and they hung him on a cross like a common murderer. I just want you to understand this now, that there is no conduct as a son or daughter of God taking any position of righteousness around the right that could get the approbation of the world order, in which they would not say that you're demented, there's something wrong with you. Why, even to try to persuade the people, the powers of darkness tried to say Jesus had a devil. Now, if the righteousness of God had a devil, then, my friends, the whole universe is exploding. I point out to you, therefore, that do not expect that you're not going to be attacked by the social order which you were opposed to. Do not expect that they're going to attack your sanity, that they're going to attack your intelligence. They're going to attack you because you want to be the sons and daughters of God that you are. You want to live by God's standards. You want to be left alone as far as the structure of your race and the integrity of your faith is concerned. And you want to fulfill divine destiny. Now, don't think for a moment that you could retract, that you could suddenly build a wall around about you, and that you could live alone in the world and let the rest of the world live under the devil, because you can't do that. If you were to try to live alone with a wall around the Christian nations and let the rest of the world live like the devil, the rest of the nations living like the devil would soon be sending missiles over the wall to just try to destroy you on the inside. Now, not only does the scripture say that, but you know, even after the great reign of righteousness and victory, 1,000 years of righteous justice, and they let the devil loose with his people for just a season, you know what they do? They try to get the missiles over the wall. And it says they come again to try to attack the kingdom. So this justifies for all time what God's about to do at this time, for instance. For I can assure you that there is no way that you can make peace with evil. Evil must be destroyed. Someone said, well, isn't this going to make evil fight harder if they know that they must be destroyed? Listen, evil's been fighting as hard as they can to capture the mind of man, to make them evil with themselves. When we lift up the standards of God, we call for righteousness and justice. We call for honesty. We call for integrity. We call for the end of theft. The processes of darkness move out upon all areas of industry. They attack the farm or the miner. They attack the individual businessman. They make it impossible for him to continue under this cycle while Babylon holds the purse strings and commands control of the money in the great nations of God's kingdom. I'm going to tell you this. When you wake out of your sleep, one of the deliverance that comes to these nations is you take back your economy. You take back the control of your own production, and you send Babylon loose with anything it wants to carry that it calls its way of life. But I'm going to tell you, my friends, they go out an impoverished people and will not be able to destroy this kingdom. This is the hour of judgment. I'm going to tell you, this judgment is going to bankrupt the forces of darkness. It's going to swallow up Babylon. It's going to bring catastrophe upon the forces of evil in your nation. Someone said, how long? Well, I'm going to tell you, you're so much closer than many people believe that I'm beginning to test the areas of advisability when I come and go and whither I move. The cycle's not too far removed when certain areas will know the chastising judgment that falls upon them. A shaking earth, a changes in the fault systems of earth, in the natural catastrophes, and you're going to see whole land masses subside beneath water. You're going to see catastrophes of whirlwinds and judgments and juggernauts move out. You're going to see, my friends, in the midst of their design for evil, the very earth producing the transformations of judgment that God says. So much so that we evaluate this. One of these days, there may be such hours that we'll say, well, we're not going to that area anymore. We're not going down tonight, or we're not going down tomorrow night. Why? Because we move close to these areas of judgment. Let me tell you something. We will tell you before we would move that these things are that close. When we take a preview of the events of 1965, we're probably going to be out calling the measures for the most earth-shaking events in all time and history as we move into this year of the judgments. The cycle of grace closes except for the children of the kingdom that have been identified with the throne. I point out for you now that in this climactic hour that we stand with the tremendous promise of deliverance. And I can turn over to the book of Joel, and it tells us as the hordes gathers, the threatened curse. Oh, why, we hear this voice as the people plead now unto the Father, give unto us assistance. You know what we need? We need to be humbled. You say, what do we mean we need to be humbled? Well, there are just too many people that are pretty arrogant. When we know the destiny of God's kingdom, we know what He's promised, we know what He's ordained, we are claiming victory by the power of God and through the power of God. But we're not beyond saying, come in, Father, with all the hosts of heaven, and help us do it. The other day I listened to a man say, we don't need God's help. We can do it. Been doing quite a job of it, haven't they? Let me tell you something. Some of these people that say they don't need God's help are the first ones to run, crawl under the bed the first time the Ogbu walks by in the street. You know what I'm interested in? I'm interested in the mighty victory of God. This battle started way out in space. It started with 1/3 of all the hosts of heaven when it started. It's now down here in earth where you, as the representatives of God and bodies of flesh, are right here visibly challenging it. And all the hosts of the darkness are moving in. Unprincipled forces of demon power are seeking to control men. Strange voices and unusual messages are reaching out. Even the very elect, they are trying to deceive.
And I tell you that it's time for us to acknowledge that we are the children of the Father, that we are battling the powers of darkness that reach out through centuries of experience, that we are but babes in the cunning of the enemy, but we are the eternal sons of an irresistible kingdom. You know what I think it's time for us to do? I think it's time for every Christian American to say, "Oh Father, give us help, give us assistance, send in the hosts of heaven, give unto us deliverance." And we pray mightily. I think it's time for us to say, "Father, we want to bind the darkness. We don't want evil men returned to power. We don't want satanic forces in our nation." You know, it's time for all Christians to pray as they've never prayed before. God, cleanse America. It's high time that we awake out of our sleep and then call upon our God. So I tell you that in these instances, God said that we shall triumph over the enemy. We shall turn his hosts. The mighty companies of the Most High shall march against the forces of evil and be joined by the powers of heaven. But make no mistake about it tonight. We must not only decry that enemy and lift up the standards of divine law, but irrespective of what they threaten to do. The President of the United States up in Wyoming said he was going to wipe out this extreme right. Why didn't he say, when he said extremists, why didn't he say something about the communists? Why didn't he say something about the ADA or the Jewish Labor Party? No, it was the Klan or the Birchers or the rightists that he was going to destroy. Well, that means he's not the president of all the people. And we don't want a man that's not the president of the people. And we do want a person that will lift up the standards of God, not with hypocrisy, but with a determination that we shall move for the right. No. Don't go out of here and say, "I endorsed a candidate." I endorsed the kingdom. I endorsed the right-wing rising to take possession. And I want you to know that the most important thing we can do is bind the darkness in this hour. But I wanted you also to understand that we are at an hour of awakening. People know that treachery has moved in. They know that courts have been controlled. They know a design to destroy the laws of God concerning a race are taking place. They know that churches have abandoned the law of God to have popularity with the world. They have been afraid to denounce the error for afraid it would touch their tax exemption status or something else. My friends, the man that puts his hand on the churches of God to seek to injure them and upon the kingdom of God in this nation to injure them will not have power to injure anybody very long. For I tell you again, these judgments shall fall. And now I can assure you this, that God stands ready to start reaping. And as we have been watching the tares starting to disappear, the tares shall continue to disappear. Of course, last week, God took home, took out of the world and gathered up in the tare basket a tremendous marshal, the head of all the armies of the Soviet Union, 7 of his top underlings and 11 of the masters of the satellites, snapped them all out in just one crash. Someone said, "That just happened." Well, that's the way I like things to just happen. God says, in one moment. Yes, if Christ steps into the world, and he will, the greatest segregation day in all history will take place. The greatest lifting of the standards of righteousness will take place. And if you think because this hasn't happened before, that it's not going to happen, it hasn't happened before because it wasn't time. But everything that God said was going to happen did happen on time. I told one fellow the other day that said, "Well, one better align himself like his unions, tell him to vote and stay with the power that's in. He'll have some security to retire on anyhow, and he don't have to worry. They'll take care of him if he's sick, and they'll give him something to retire on." I said, "Let me tell you something, it's not going to last that long. And I'm going to show you something else. Those that have made their bed with the Antichrist for gain think that they have taken a short chance. And that we who stand upon the standards of God and call for righteousness in the kingdom are taking a very, very, very long chance on its being fulfilled. But I'm going to tell you something. They knew what God is revealing, and if they knew what we know tonight, they would be quickly trying to align themselves on the right side, and they wouldn't be worried about the year after next or about the alignment politically of pensions or retirement funds or anything else. If you've got to retire with the devil, you better plan, my friends, on lining up with God, because the devil's going to be out of business very soon. Besides, he's a liar. He never kept his word. He always fails, and he ends with a catastrophe of washing out people and all that they have developed and all that they've saved and all that they think is security. I tell you tonight that people have got to stop buying what they feel is security at the price of their faith and their integrity, and at the price of determining who they're going to leave at the helm of the great nations of God's kingdom. I listened to one labor leader get up the other day and say on the air, if you don't return to the administration, you're going to have a half-empty lunch bucket. You're not going to get enough pay to take home to live on. Now think this over, they said. What do you want? Do you want to have a full dinner pail and enough money to buy all the things you want? Or do you want to sweep this thing all away for some doubtful status of austerity? You know really what they were saying? Do you want a full dinner pail with the crooks, or do you want to wipe the crooks out and take a chance on having to acquire this with vision, with energy, without the promise of the crooks? So he says, you shouldn't talk that way. No, I'm telling it just straight right now, that they are trying to buy men to turn from truth and from rightness in order to support the pattern of the darkness. Now, this is the great issues. I'm not talking about personalities now. I'm talking about issues. The devil will say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. This is to take in Christians. But I tell you, I know what we do. I know when this nation tries to get along with the Antichrist, when it strengthens the satellites of communism that hold people in slavery and does this because it thinks it's buying time or creating a world order in which we're all joined together, that this is the program of Babylon. Come out from her, my people, lest we be partaker of her judgments and of her sins. Eternal life, yes. Grace of God, yes. Worried about the eternal destinies? No, because we are sure that we have fixed our faith on God with power enough to redeem to the uttermost. Worried about America's destiny? Really, no, because God's going to raise up enough people to do this task, and there are great numbers of people that are neutralizing themselves at this point by not aligning up with God, not preparing for the struggle. Oh, they say we're going to take care of all these things with just natural educational processes, and then they let the enemy take over education more every year. No, my friends. We're going to take America with a great mighty rallying of the hosts of God, with the powers of heaven, and with the determination that this country and all the nations of God's kingdom must rally to this standard and liberate the earth. I wouldn't promise any security to Russia. I wouldn't tell her that we're going to leave her way of life exist. I wouldn't tell Red China that we're going to leave them rule over the earth. I'd tell them we stand for righteousness, that to leave us alone because we're going to accomplish a destiny. Leave people go, set them free, or we're going to set them free. You say you can't do that. They say that's what the Republicans are threatening now. They're threatening the peace of the earth. Let me tell you what God said. Ask me of things concerning my sons, 35th chapter of Isaiah. Ask me of things. They're going to set my captives free. They're going to build my great new order. They're going to liberate the cities. He says, I'm going to let the world know that these are my divine children, my household, and I am God, and they are my children. This is what the world shall know. All right, tonight then, we tell you that we have been asleep. We've let the enemy woo us. We've listened to him hypnotize us with his Negro music on the television and the radios of America. You know, God's children need a great cleansing in heart. You know that? We need a great cleansing that'll make us eschew the darkness. We've got to stop being vibrated to the syncopations of darkness and call for the melodies of heaven. This is rightness. This is what God declares. The enemy entraps us because there becomes such a mesmerism of sound that it becomes pleasing unto people because they've adopted the mesmerisms of sound. But against the great symphonies, the music of heaven and the spheres, the mighty culture of our race and society, all of this is a part of the hypnotic patterns to try to get us to not resist. Though I know great numbers of people that aspire to see the victories of God's kingdom. They're opposed to every area of this darkness, the jungle rhythms, the vibration of these forces, and yet they become partially captivated with acquiescence. Let me tell you something tonight. It's time for you to call for not only the standards of God but it's time for you to cleanse every vibratory area in which Satan reaches men through the pattern of the senses. Close these gates of darkness and set your people free. So we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Even so, come quickly. For this is the cry in the book of Revelation that marks the climax of an age. We're going to be speaking next Wednesday night in Lancaster. This Bible study class there will discuss the questions that are coming up as continuing these questions are raised concerning various areas and avenues of divine purpose. We urge each one of you that wishes to attend and to listen, to meditate, to ask questions on these subjects, you can come to this Wednesday night Bible class in Lancaster. Thursday in San Diego. Friday we cover the blueprints of world events as they relate to biblical economy. We will also study certain areas of issues that are before the people, and we shall measure these things with the standards of a Christian. Next Sunday afternoon, we'll be continuing in areas of knowledge and discussion concerning the patterns and the purposes of the kingdom of God. And we urge each one of you to come to the mighty knowledge of the things which God hath ordained. We've talked about the mysteries of God, and we've talked about the mysteries of the kingdom. And we continue to talk about these areas of divine revelation. Never has there been a period like this. Now, we are speaking on this subject next Sunday night. Is there a choice before the people? This is our subject next Sunday night, the Sunday night before election. Is there a choice before the people? We urge you tonight with your tithes and offerings to hold up our hands to help us meet the expense of the many avenues of this ministry. You know, before we ever entered into the tape operation, we had auditorium rents, we had staff, we had the various areas of the operations of this ministry. We have increased as we started with tape operations until today. The tape operation is 4 times greater than your budget used to be. Now let's stop and compute this. You have not only your tithes and offerings, which we ask you to give, but throughout the nations of peoples of the nation, wherever the tapes go, their tithes and offerings are also necessary. We ask every hearer among the tape peoples, will you please evaluate in your stewardship what of your tithes and offerings you can send to maintain and keep this message going out? Vital that it goes out fast and far at this time. Now, we point out that at this very moment, the valuations of offering are not much greater than they were before we took on the tape area. We have watched it rise. We've watched it take its ups and downs. But at this moment, we need the ups. We need you with your tithes and offerings to make the sacrifices, sacrifices which we join you in making with every possible operation to reach more people with truth. And so tonight, as we take your offering, let God guide you in your giving to help us reach people across this nation. The tapes that are sent out by this church and across the nations and throughout every continent of the earth. The only place where you don't have tapes going directly is Asia. The only place. And now we haven't got anything much over in Asia except a few white men that should come home, or else my friends finish up Asia and establish a sound sovereignty over it. But in the meantime, why we point out to you that this God says, the Spirit of God said to the Apostle Paul, don't you go over to Asia, say. Right now, however, we have white people in Africa, we have white people all over Europe, we have white people in this continent, white people in Australia, and wheresoever white people are, the gospel of the kingdom is going. We want to get over the cities of Israel, but we can't get over all of them before the end of the age. We need your tithes, we need your offerings, we need your prayers. We urge you to help us fill this auditorium and pack it out. In fact, there are lots of people that are kind of lazy. They live within this area, and they also listen to tape when they could get out to church, and those tapes could go farther out than ever. So we urge you to bring people in contact with the truth. We're going to be guided as we feel essential, but we feel that the time has come when we must spread these tapes as far as possible, and as long as they're used, and as long as people come to church and catalyze them and help carry out the load, this is important. But I tell you, it's time for people being lazy, and it's time for them to gather and to work for the work of God's kingdom. Weave not off the assembling of yourselves together, but lift up these standards. We are appreciative of the fact that everywhere that people are hungry for truth, and we urge you to help reach them. People all over the country are saying, come here, come there. They want city after city are urging us, will you speak here? Will you come to this auditorium? Will you form a congregation here? We say, here's the tape, listen to it. Now we say that here in this community, this area, that you may bring people alive to the contact of the truth. And we urge you to help fill this auditorium. We urge you with your tithes and offerings to help fill the earth with the knowledge of God in this hour and participate in spreading this great bread of life upon the waters of the kingdom. Almighty and eternal Father, invoke thy blessing to rest upon this congregation. Bless this offering. Multiply this offering to carry forward the mighty gospel of thy kingdom and the great work of thy church. In thy name we ask it. Amen.